Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
Okay, so we're diving back in tonight to talk a little bit about Advent and Christmas. And if you've been with us the last few Sundays, I know many of you are new, but if you've been with us the last few Sundays, you know, we've been talking a little bit about how this time of year tends to stir up a bit of family drama. And maybe tonight you're in the middle of that. Maybe there you got some drama going on because it's Christmas Eve tomorrow and Christmas Day the day after that, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and you're meeting with family members, and you got, there's some, I mean, let's just be honest, right? You guys have figured out by now in life that there's some family that you choose and there's some family that you don't choose, and sometimes the family that you don't choose, you know, sometimes you end up related to people you don't really like all that much, you know? And you're going to see those people in the next couple of days, and there's drama. Some of you had drama on the way here. There's drama waiting for you in the parking lot. You put it on pause because you were coming to church, but it's waiting for you out there. As soon as you leave, as soon as I say amen, it's on, right? So you guys, like, some of that is going on right now, and you're in the middle of it. We've talked for the last few Sundays about how not to get sucked into family drama at Christmas. And we've centered on one Bible verse in particular. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it simply says this: If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So live at peace with everyone is the goal, but we learned right in the first few words, may not be possible. If it is possible means it might not work. It might not be possible for you to live at peace with everyone. There might be some people with whom it's impossible to live at peace because there are people in the world who are drawn to drama. There are people in the world who like to stir up drama. There are people in the world whose base is primarily insecure. They need to be the center of attention. And even though drama is negative attention, it's better than being ignored. So those people don't want to forgive. They don't want to move on. They like the leverage. They want to make you feel bad about what you've done so that they can manipulate you. And sometimes we're related to those people, and sometimes we're sitting right next to those people right now. And it's awkward. So we've talked the last couple Sundays about how not to get sucked into that and how to kind of navigate through that. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of invitations. Invitations change lives, right? Some of you are here tonight and your lives were changed because somebody invited you here one time. And you came in and you connected with God, and maybe it's been months or maybe it's been years or maybe this is your first time. But you're here tonight because of an invitation, and it's not by accident. Invitations change lives. And sometimes around the holidays, invitations are the thing that are at the center of the drama, right? This time of year, there's lots of invitations going around. We invite people over, or we get invited over to somebody's house, or sometimes we don't get invited, and it's the lack of an invitation that causes the drama. And, oh, we didn't get invited to the thing, or nobody invited me anywhere, or something. You ever get a late invitation, like you didn't make the first cut, but you made the second round? And even that's awkward. Almost is better sometimes not to be involved than to make the late cut and get the late invitation, because then you're like, well, they didn't want me there, but somebody canceled, so they threw me a bone. You know, so it's awkward when that happens, and it can stir up drama. Tonight, we're here to talk a little bit about this. At Christmas, God is giving us an invitation. Christmas is an invitation to dive in to a really big story. Christmas is an invitation for us to leave our little tiny world where we're at the center, our little tiny world where we're kind of the lead role. Christmas is an invitation to pick up a role in a much bigger story. It's something that picks our eyes up and makes us see something different, something larger. You may have noticed over the years that children's literature, children's stories, generation after generation after generation in cultures throughout the world, children's stories continually tell us and speak to us of other worlds. Children's literature always involves or often involves other worlds, other places where a child kind of finds that there's another world to explore, another world right up against this one, and the barrier between this world and that world is somehow very thin and easy to spot. In literature throughout centuries and throughout cultures, we see this theme over and over again. And the reason we see that theme over and over again in children's literature is because there's something in each of us that wants to believe that this world isn't it. There's something hardwired into each of us that wants badly to believe that this isn't it, especially at this time of year, when we are when our emotions are a little bit heightened, and maybe in this month of the year we're a little bit more aware than usual of how jacked up things are. Now, as emotions are heightened, we struggle because things are not as they ought to be, and there are difficulties. And some of you are here tonight, and you are trying like crazy to have a good Christmas. I mean, you're just giving it everything you've got to have a merry and joyful Christmas, but there are circumstances working against you, and it feels like you're swimming upstream. And when you're trying to find joy, and you're trying to have a merry Christmas, and circumstances are crushing down on you, and it feels like you're swimming upstream, it can just be an ever-present reminder that this world is really messed up. And it's those reminders that make us go, come on, there's got to be something else. Please don't let this be it. There's something in each of us that wants to believe. And I'm not saying that there's something in each of us that believes. You might not believe. In point of fact, you might have come in here tonight, and you would not self-identify as a Christian. Maybe you walked in here tonight, you're like, my mom made me come. Okay, that's why I'm here. It's what I'm doing here. The family came. I had to do this. Like, you know, or you're here because you figured you'd give it a try, but you would not necessarily tonight self-identify as a Christian or a Christ follower, and I get that. And I'm not saying, so I'm not trying to put words in your mouth and say that you believe, but I am saying that there's something in deep in the heart of every human that wants to believe, that there's something else besides this world, and it's why those stories stir us the way they do. Your grandparents paid careful attention when they first heard of a young girl named Alice who was doing her homework one day leaning up against a tree, and she saw a rabbit go by and dive into a hole, and she followed that rabbit into a tree trunk, into a hole, and all of a sudden she found herself in Wonderland, right? This other world. It was this whole other world right on the other side of this one, and the barrier between that world and this one was somehow very thin, and she was able to find it almost by accident, and when she went into that place, there was a whole other world for her to explore and to see and to interact with. Your grandparents paid careful attention when they first heard of a young girl named Wendy who shared a bedroom with her brother. And one night, a boy came to the window. He flew to the window, and his name was Peter. And he took her by the hand, and they flew across the skies of London. And just like that, they found themselves in Neverland, right? And they paid careful attention because all of a sudden, there's this other world. Like, there's this whole other world right on the other side of this one. And they somehow found the barrier. It was a thin barrier, and they made their way across, and now they're in this other place. Your parents paid careful attention when they first heard of these four English kids who went exploring during World War II. They went exploring in a mansion, and they hid in the back of a wardrobe and suddenly somehow found themselves in Narnia, right? It was this whole other world right on the other side of this one, and the barrier between this world and that world was somehow very thin, and they were able to find it. Your grandparents paid careful attention to Peter and Wendy and Alice, and your parents paid careful attention to the kids who found their way into Narnia, and you are paying careful attention to Harry Potter and Ron and Hermione as they make their way between platforms 9 and 10. When they find platforms 9 3/4 and they somehow push their way through and find themselves in Hogwarts, this whole other world, right on the other side of this one, the barrier between the two worlds, somehow thin, and they find their way through. Have you ever wondered why those stories stir you the way they do? Have you ever wondered why generation after generation after generation of children's literature throughout the ages continues to reiterate versions of this story? Have you ever wondered why you pay more attention than your kids do? you pay more attention than your kids do. Something about these stories hooks you. Something about these stories makes you pay attention. Something about these stories draws us in. Have you ever wondered what that is? Have you ever wondered why this unpronounceable thing comes up in us when we hear stories about another world? These authors do not intend to give us theology. These authors are not intending to try to cause us to believe something, but they are echoing something in their writings. There is a thread common throughout history, throughout this literature. There's a common thread, and it tells us of another world right on the other side of this one. The barrier between this world and that world somehow thin. Another place, a reminder that this world simply isn't it. It is Christmas which most reminds us that this world isn't it, that there is another world right on the other side of this one. The barrier between them somehow thin, maybe thinner than usual this time of year. And it's Christmas that reminds us that world came to this world and touched our existence. John chapter 1 says it like this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Another translation, the Message translation says this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. This story, exactly like all these other stories, with one very important exception, this story is true. This is the story that set those other stories in motion. This is the story that inspired all those other writings. And those authors would never say they were echoing something that God put in their heart. They would never say they're echoing something that God wrote in the Bible. But I believe, and many theologians believe, that the reason these stories continue to reiterate themselves time after time after time throughout history is because there is something in the human heart that wants to believe that this world isn't it. That there's more, that there is another place, that there is another world. It is Christmas that reminds us that this is the truth. It's why this season finds us with our emotions rising to the surface. It's why, for reasons we don't actually have a good vocabulary for, Christmas does something to our hearts. We are reminded at this time that there's more, and we find ourselves invited. We find ourselves invited into something bigger, invited into a story bigger than our own. And Alice could have stayed on this side, and Wendy could have stayed on this side, and the Pevensey children could have stayed on this side, and Harry and Ron and those other guys could have stayed on this side, but they didn't. They dove in. Tonight, you don't have to dive down a rabbit hole, which is good because most of us wouldn't fit. And you don't have to fly out your window and pray for pixie dust. And you don't have to look for a hidden land in the back of your wardrobe, and you don't have to find a hidden train platform. Tonight, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. Receive the invitation. You have been invited into a story much bigger than your own. And you don't have to take the invitation. You could pass just like any invitation. You could say, thank you very much. No, thank you. I like living a small life. I like me being the center. I like my own little rock star life. I'm just going to be about me. I'm going to make this about me. Christmas is about me after all. Thank you very much. I'm good to go. You have that constitutional right. Knock yourself out. But if I may be so bold, you'd be a fool. Oh, you'd be so silly to leave this invitation. You don't want to leave this invitation on the table. You've been invited into something grand. You've been invited into a ridiculous adventure. You've been invited into a story that takes you to another world, another place, a story that will remind you day after day after day, as every good children's story does, that this world isn't it. put your faith in him tonight, remember that Christmas reminds us at a base soul, emotional level that heaven touches our world and we are invited in. It's my hope tonight you'll take that invitation, put your faith in him, and start living a new adventure. That's what I'm praying for my life, for my family's life, and for yours. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this ridiculous invitation. We thank you that this world isn't it. We thank you that there's more, that this broken, broken place is not the end, that this is not the final word. We've hoped that that was true. We've wanted that to be true. The longing for that to be true has found its way into so many of the stories that we are mesmerized by. Father, tonight, remind us, at Christmas now, remind us that yours was the story that inspired all these other stories, that it's true, that there is another world beyond this one. And remind us again tonight that we are invited in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.